and we'll be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable Scent Beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. Wray to resign. I'm Michelle Franzen. FBI Director Christopher Wray, during an internal town hall, telling employees he is resigning at the end of the current administration. Wray was appointed by Donald Trump during his first presidency and remained in the role when President Biden took office. President-elect Trump has vowed to fire Wray if he was elected. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more.
While the FBI director still has 3 years left on his 10-year term, Christopher Wray's decision to step down upon Donald Trump's swearing in has been widely expected, especially given the president-elect's announcement that he's already chosen Wray's replacement. Wray's impending resignation is necessary for the Senate to consider Kash Patel, who's been working the halls on Capitol Hill to earn senators' support.
Sources with knowledge of Wray's remarks says he told employees he did not want to be a distraction to the important issues facing the country. Again, FBI Director Christopher Wray announcing he will resign in January. This is ABC News. They wanted to merge into a supermarket chain. Now that a federal judge has derailed that union, Albertsons is suing Kroger.
In its lawsuit, Albertsons claims that Kroger failed to do what was needed to secure regulatory approval for the company's proposed $24 billion merger. It accuses Kroger of refusing to sell assets to secure antitrust regulators' approval, ignoring feedback from regulators, and rejecting potential buyers of its assets. Albertson says it spent big time on the merger effort and is seeking billions of dollars in damages from Kroger to make Albertson's and its shareholders whole.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. NFL history made today. For the first time, private equity firms bought into league ownership. Aris Management purchased 10% of the Dolphins. Brooklyn Nets and New York Liberty owner Joseph Tsai brought another 3%. The Buffalo Bills sold over 20% of shares. Private equity funds that buy into teams have to hold their shares for 6 years. Michelle Franz and ABC News.
From ABC News and Good Morning America, I'm Ginger Z. Today's Brightly Moment is brought to you by Macy's. This holiday season, let Macy's be your guide to gifting. We can all learn something about spreading joy. From a New Jersey grandfather who last year came up with a funny and thoughtful gift for his grandkids. Grandpa Liam has 11 grandchildren, ranging in age from 5 to 29 years old. They all erupted with laughter as they unwrapped their presents.
You guys all got Crocs.
Each of them gifted with a brand new pair of Crocs. But that's not all. Grandpa Liam handed out another round of gifts, Croc charms to go on their new footwear. The charms had a photo of Grandpa Liam's face. While the Crocs brought some chuckles, they were also sentimental to the family. Their beloved grandmother, who passed away in 2012, was known to wear bright teal Crocs and a matching cover-up to the beach. This holiday season, give love. Give Crocs. This Brightly Moment has been brought to you by Macy's. I'm ABC's Ginger Z.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. The teen who allegedly assaulted and killed Lily Peters was in court Tuesday. The 16-year-old, identified as CPB in court documents, stood mute at his arraignment in Chippewa County Court. Not guilty pleas to intentional homicide, sexual assault, and child sexual assault were entered on his behalf. The teen is accused of assaulting and killing the 12-year-old girl in April of 2022, then hiding her body. Police say CPB allegedly admitted to the attack, saying he wanted to know what it felt like to kill someone. case is being held in adult court, despite a long effort by the boys' attorneys to keep it in juvenile court. There are new state charges against three men connected to a slate of false electors in the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced charges on Tuesday against Attorney Jim Troupas and Trump administration advisors Ken Chesebro and Michael Roman. All three are accused of colluding to file a false set of electoral college votes. There are 10 felonies against each man, one for each of the false Republican electors who cast ballots. Prosecutors say text messages between the men and the electors show that they knew the slate of electors were false and that they sought to mislead those who took part in how those signatures would be used. Each felony charge carries a sentence of 6 years. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Pro-Palestinian protesters who disrupted a University's of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting last week will all be cited.
According to UW-Madison police, all 19 individuals arrested will receive a citation for violating a policy on intentionally creating noise that unreasonably interfered with sponsored or authorized activity. One protester is getting an additional citation for spitting on food inside the meeting room. UW police officers warned the group to stop disrupting the meeting, but they refused and continued before being arrested. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at ExploreAlex.com. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Blustery and becoming cold, with crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers, accumulations should stay under an inch. But winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Today wasn't the bullish corn parade that some might have hoped for after yesterday's surprisingly bullish report. Is it just a little breather, or are we showing signs of a top?
Live from the Hump Day Observation Overlook via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Karen Braun from Reuters. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. Me, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, filling in for Chip Flory, the pride of Chicago, Ted Seifert!
Woohoo! Hey, buddy, how's it going?
What's shaking, homie? Glad to have you aboard here.
Yeah, man. As always, I really enjoy doing it, so thanks for having me. And, you know, I'm looking out the window. We've got some snow flurries happening. It's feeling very December in here.
Really?
So that's nice. Yeah, I like it.
We've got
'tis the season.
Well, here in Kansas City, we're all the way down at 34 degrees Fahrenheit, and the sun, I don't know, the sun, I guess, is punching out early today. It's getting cloudy all of a sudden, and kind of a little nip in the air suddenly.
Yeah, well, you know, you Kansas City guys don't get snow all that often, right?
You know, we really don't, and we'd prefer to keep it that way if we can. I mean, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big part of it.
Yeah. We're 29 today, and I gotta say, I kind of felt like it was pretty warm outside. So, you know,
yeah, it was a Chicago 29, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, so I mean, I don't know, typical December stuff, right? But hey, you know what wasn't very typical December stuff?
Let's see.
The WASDE report yesterday.
Yes, that was atypical because by historical standards. She's a snoozer, typically, right?
Yes. By 11:05, we are all napping. That was not the case yesterday.
So
I didn't get my nap in. I'm a little grumpy today, but
okay. I got one in.
You know, it was nice. It was. I mean, look, I'm all for you know, surprises and stuff like that. I mean, but no, I mean, the USDA historically doesn't do a whole lot on that report. Typically because, you know, the production number doesn't change. That happens in January. And when they know that they are or could be changing the production number, that generally changes things on the demand side of their equation too. So a lot of times they like to punt to the January report. And more often than not, we see December reports that are pretty darn close to unchanged, very, very tiny tweaks, if any. But that wasn't the case for corn, especially yesterday. And it begs the question, why? And that's what we're all trying to figure out. You know, in my mind, is it A, the USDA felt a sense of urgency to change and really increase corn demand because they're worried that they might have to do it even more aggressively further on down the line. And they were worried that, you know, they didn't want to shock the market with like a 500 million bushel change, you know, so they're trying to get in front of that. Or was it sort of a, hey, let's rip the Band-Aid off here, go into a small production change on the Jan report. You know, I'm not saying it's small. I'm just saying their thought process, you know.
I think what you're saying is you anticipate those changes to continue in the future as though they're whittling away at some number. Perhaps.
You know, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, that's honestly with what I've been wrestling since 11:01 yesterday, right? And I'm not sure I have a solid answer for that yet. But
But
you have to take note when there's a big change on a report that generally doesn't have many changes.
Yeah,
you could certainly argue, you could certainly argue, and I think we should, that some of that should have happened on the November report. So maybe they were playing catch up. I don't know. But either way, that was a big deal. And in the meantime, the markets, you know, if you'd have told me that on Monday, that, you know, they're going to come in 200 million bushels below November and 168 million bushels below the trade expectations, I'd say, wow, we could be up 20 cents, 25 cents.
Yes.
But we're only up 7.25 and actually down 0.75 cents in marked corn today. So,
You're not alone in that. Somebody else said 20 cents here earlier on AgriTalk too, thinking, boy, that ought to be worth a little more than it is. The idea maybe that some of it was figured in, though. I don't know.
Yeah. The plot thickens, my friend. Yes.
Indeed.
Anywho, what sort of news do you have for us today, buddy?
I've got a little. Wheat futures found some fundamental support from a favorable world balance sheet that prompted USDA to cut 24-25 ending stocks more than expected. Winter wheat futures are building upon recent strength, traded at more than a two-week high, but then set back into the close. Ted, March HRW wheat futures firmed 1.5 cent today, 5.67 1/4. March SRW wheat up 1.5 cent as well. 5.63 1/4. I'm not showing spring wheat settled here on my screen, but I've got March unchanged on the spring wheat at 6.06 1/2. When that settles, we'll update you there. How do you like the wheats today?
You know, it really looked like a bit of a breakout to the upside. I mean, there's an interesting thing happening on the wheat chart here, but we really gave it a lot of the gains back at the end of the day, and that's disappointing. Yeah. I mean, that was the theme of the day. It really kind of sank into the close.
Well, I'm about to say it again. USDA aggressively raised its ethanol and export estimates for the 24-25 crop year. That pushed futures to the highest level since early October. Corn futures did flash modest follow-through strength early today. Unable to hold on to those gains, though, as technical headwinds limited buyer interest. Ethanol production, 1.078 million barrels per day, weekend of December 6th. That's up 5,000 from the previous week and above the same week last year. Meanwhile, stocks headed in the right direction, down 355,000 barrels to 22.648 million. March corn futures fell 0.75 cents to 4.48 1/4. May corn gained 0.25 cents to 4.55 1/2. July corn futures ended the day at 4.58 1/4. That's up a penny on the day. More to get to, but it looks like we've got Bubba. Ted?
Yeah, let's do that. Well, hey, Bubba, how's it going today, brother?
What's up, Ted? What's up, handsome newsman?
Hi, Davis. Yeah. Well, what'd you see? I mean, was it disappointing for you here today that the March corn futures closed down 0.75 cents, or, you know, especially
the whole market structure is disappointing, but there's nothing going on. Nobody cares. We're working at half of normal volume. There's no action. I mean, again, this is ridiculous. This is the slowest fourth quarter I can remember, and I can't tell you how many years. I've been doing this for 46 years. This is the slowest fourth quarter I can remember. There's no action. There's interest. The equities now, once again, after a couple of days of selling, are taken off again. And without an equity sell-off, new money is not going to flow into the green markets and force the shorts to cover. So the shorts are totally in control. And a little rally does not phase them because they watch where the money is flowing, and the money is flowing. What little action we have is flowing into the equities. But overall, market participation is the weakest I've seen it in 20 years.
Do you see that changing between now and the end of the year?
No. To me, the year is over. I think
Is probably okay to sit on your hands here, or is there something actionable here? What do you do?
You should sit on your hands unless something becomes actionable, which would be by price and volume. Yeah. But regular traders who trade for a living, next Friday is over anyways. The year is over for them automatically because we all take off the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah. Well, are you doing anything fun for those 2 weeks, Bubba?
I'll be watching, but nothing more than poker, whatever I do every day.
Attaboy.
Okay. Attaboy.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Again, I would just say my only message to everybody out there, if you're a farmer with cattle and you got it, you better hedge it. That's all I can tell you.
Ooh, I don't disagree with that, Bubba. That was a great way to end that first segment. So thank you very much, man. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you, Davis.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I like what Bubba said there. I also feel like there should be some downside protection there for cattle.
Dropped a nugget in
everybody,
there at the end.
Yeah, good nugget. But hey, everybody, come on back to AgriTalk. We'll be talking to Karen Braun from Reuters.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revitec fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Are you ready to unleash superior seeding performance on your operation? Choose from two revolutionary Great Plains drills. The BD7600 Min-Till Drill, renowned for its seeding consistency, large capacity, and innovative technology, including Drill Command. And the new BD7410 Drill, whose transport width under 10 feet delivers great maneuverability through gates and down narrow roadways. Learn more at your local Great Plains dealer or greatplainsag.com. Great Plains. Harvest starts here.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. Ad Council.
What's the first?
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Monkey,
That, of course, the sound of Ted Seifert's 87 Dodge Omni powered by American ethanol, if I'm not mistaken. Ted? No? No one?
Nah, it's my fault. My
Seifert?
Nah, it's my fault. I'll fix Seifert. It. I'm fixing it right now. Stupid. Can't believe I did that. He didn't even get to hear the sound. I'm sorry, Ted.
Well, I'll save it for the next segment.
Well, should we do
save it for the next seg? Never mind. Right, we'll do nothing it. To see here.
I was just sitting here patiently wondering what was going on there.
I don't know what just happened.
Pilot error.
53 seconds or so. I'm like, should I talk or not?
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody.
Back out of its nose.
Just sitting here staring into the abyss, guys. Thanks for that. It's okay. I was catching up on emails. It was fine.
Attaboy. Attaboy. But you got a guest there with you, as I understand it, eh, buddy?
I do. I think I do. I mean, who knows anything anymore? But, well, yes. So the plan is to talk to Karen Braun of Reuters. And, well, Karen is such a great analyst, does deep dives into the numbers. And I figured after yesterday's report, who could be better to have a conversation with than Karen? So, I guess without further ado, since we've lost a little bit of time already, Karen, how you doing?
Not too bad, Ted. You know, yesterday was pretty interesting and gave us something to talk about here at the end of the year when we all were just kind of trying to get an early holiday, right?
Yeah, everybody's going to visit Bubba in Vegas. we should all jump on that plane. But yeah, certainly did. In fact, I haven't had time to really go through it, but I think it was one of the biggest changes we've ever seen on a December report. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. At least back, I don't know, I have 25 or so years of data.
Wow.
And it's definitely, it's double the largest previous ending stock reduction. That one came in like 2007. So no, this is very, very unusual. But like you were saying in the first segment, I kind of feel like some people were looking for some of these demand increases back last month, didn't get them. So I do kind of think there is potential catch up from then. But still, like either way, it's a very, very large change.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it kind of begs the question as to why the timing of it? You know, why didn't they do it in November? And then also, if they didn't do it in November, why didn't they wait to January?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I do think that when they released the November report, we kind of just had those really big sales coming in. I mean, they had just really started. So kind of feel like there wasn't enough. I could have gone either way. You could increase exports or leave it. But obviously this time it was just sticking out. You had to. And so it was good to see them recognize that, and especially with the ethanol. I mean, we saw several weekly records ethanol output last month. So just seeing that demand recognized, I think that it was just time. You know, whether or not they're setting up something for January, I think that independently of that, you can just look at the data that we've seen recently and say, yes, these increases were needed.
Yeah. Okay. So they needed the proof in the pudding, so to speak.
Right.
So, okay.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned, you know, ethanol, which I think we can all agree with, because like you said, you know, the weekly records, you know, during the last month. But the big one, obviously, was exports.
Yeah.
What do you see there? Do you agree with that? I'm going to say very aggressive increase in exports on a December report.
Yeah. So, you know what? Actually, I think putting some numbers behind this would give people kind of the best idea of what's going on here. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, tomorrow we're getting new weekly sales. So, you know, too bad we weren't doing this tomorrow. But as of November 28th, that's the most recent export data that we have. The sales covered 54% of what USDA told us the export goal is, you know, as of yesterday. So that 54% compares to about a 46% average, but it's not as high as in 2021. Sorry, like when China was buying. It was about 57 then. So, I mean, but 54%, I mean, that's pretty good, but it's not like, you know, it's not a record. So to me, that says, okay, you know what? This is not a crazy number. You know, this is what, the data is showing right now. Now, I do think that it is really interesting that, you know, the 2.475 billion bushels that they put out yesterday for 24-25 corn exports, that's the second highest on record after 2020 and 2021. And you know what? We shipped 31% of our exports to China that year. Wow. And China has not bought anything for 24-25. So this is all non-Chinese demand. And when you look at, you know, Mexico, our biggest buyer, they actually don't have an unusually high share. So in other words, you know, this is not all Mexico. This is everybody. So that's a really healthy sign, you know, in China's absence.
You know, this is certainly not meant to correct you, but I when you were saying that none of it's been China, I seem to remember like a really, really small purchase of Chinese corn of like 10,000 metric tons or something like that. At some point on that. And then I think we were getting excited because it's like, oh, China might come in and buy more, but
I mean, that's virtually nothing. I mean, that could be some kind of specialty. I'm sure it went in a container, you know, like a container or something. Yeah. But no, you can effectively say that China has not purchased corn. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but to your point, it's been all the other countries that have really stepped up outside of Mexico, which is our, you know, typical big, you know, export partner for corn. So it really makes me wonder, you know, after a few years of higher prices, are these countries coming in to replenish their stocks that had been diminished in periods of high prices? And does this continue on, or is this just a 1 year or maybe even a half of a marketing year thing? Is this all front loaded?
Well, I don't think so, because, you know, the dynamic is different every year. So, you know, right now we're seeing really big purchases from Europe, European countries, Egypt, and those are traditional customers of Ukraine. So Ukraine kind of struggling a little bit this year with their grain exports, but, you know, and then in Europe too, you know, they had a rough grain harvest, you know, in Western Europe, this year. So I think, you know, you've got a plentiful U.S. supply. It's cheap. It's the one that's available. And so I think it's just, the redirection of that, you know, demand to U.S. corn, I think just makes sense. So I don't think you can really say anything about, you know, that we're replenishing stockpiles, because every single year there's different dynamics happening around the world. So that's kind of my take.
Okay. Well, okay. So now that the USDA has made the big changes, you know, between now and the January report, you know, what do we see really influencing the market?
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, we were talking about the reaction in December corn, or sorry, not December corn futures. We're talking about March futures now, from the December report, and that some people thought maybe that was disappointing. But I do think that you have seen, you know, the market kind of price in some of this, some of these expectations. I mean, the funds are net long, so you know, I do think that there was some anticipation of this, and so I think we're going to kind of sit on this now and look how, you know, the export sales and the other demand kind of shakes out here in the next couple of weeks. I do think it's a little bit, I'm not going to say alarming, but it's maybe not my favorite thing that we haven't seen any flash sales this week. Not my favorite, but, you know, that's not everything, but it's just one small detail. But no, I just think that we're going to kind of, you know, take this news, and then, you know, January 10th is coming up sooner than we think.
Right. Time flies during holidays, right? And so January 10th is coming up soon, and that is the USDA's, you know, quote unquote final production number. I say quote unquote because nothing ever seems to be final with the USDA, but that is their production number for last year. So the big talk is going to be yield. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that everyone likes to say that, you know, big crops get bigger. That's actually not true in the data. You are more likely to see a decrease in January when you've already in yields, when you've already seen kind of those big crop estimates. So, you know, we had that reduction in November after three straight yield increases for corn. So your tendency is actually to be a little bit smaller in January. But honestly, I don't know how much smaller it could be.
Yeah, you know, that late season dryness obviously, you know, showed up on the soybean production numbers from the November report. They don't change them on December.
Exactly.
Showed up to corn a little bit as well, but you know, that's been the question of, you know, since they made a reduction lower, a revision lower in November, does that mean another lower one in January? So I don't know. That will be very interesting to see. Okay, well, time does fly when you're having fun. We've been talking to Karen Braun of Reuters, and when we come back, we will continue on with our conversation and try to get to some soybeans and some wheat. So everybody, come on back. There you go.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures firmed 1.5 cents to 567.25. March SRW wheat also up 1.5 cents, 563.25. March corn futures were down 0.75 cents to 448.25. July corn futures ended the day at 458.25. That's up a penny. January soybean futures gained 0.75 cents, 9.95.5. March beans firmed 2.5 to 10.02.75. March cotton today gained 67 points to 70.15. On your livestock's December fat cattle gained $2.40 to 192.25. January feeders added 172.5 to 259.05. And December lean hog futures gained 50 cents to 83.50. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Blustery and becoming cold, with crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers. Accumulations should stay under an inch, but winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And once again, the sound, the siren sound of Ted Seifert's 1987 Dodge Omni, fueled by American ethanol. Clean burning octane, baby.
Dodge Omni.
Love Am that. I remembering no. that right? Was it an 87 no. Omni? I was thinking.
It was not.
No.
It was not. It's okay. been a few things over the years, but never a Dodge Omni. No.
What might it be currently?
Z06 Corvette.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sass wagon, huh?
A little bit. It's got a big old carbon fiber wing on it and everything.
Cool. Yes.
Sass wagon indeed. Mm-hmm. But the one that we used the clip from, that was a 2020 ZL1 Camaro stick shift. And I miss it. I miss the stick shift a lot. Oh, but yeah. They don't make Corvettes in stick shift anymore, Davis. It's really disappointing.
You know what they
not enough people
do.
Driving stick these days. That's there's just nobody not a knows how. For
it's
it,
like cursive writing anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the day when they come out with an EV that uses ethanol. That's the car I'm waiting for.
EV ethanol car. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Did that just blow your mind a little bit? Yeah.
I guess so. You know,
not ready.
E stands for ethanol. There,
that's right.
Yeah. So there is a way to do that, right? I mean, you get yourself a generator that burns Z85,
okay,
and you run the generator and charge your EV. That is about the only way I would get behind an electric car, I feel like, Davis.
Do you
so
have any
that's
pamphlets?
That's a good idea.
With more of your thoughts, do you have pamphlets? Or
that's how a train locomotive works.
Look, you can hire me to do an hour-long speech on why we should use E85 in every vehicle in America. So, you know. In fact, I've hosted the AM AgriTalk a couple times with that exact. I mean, that was Heck the yeah. entire show.
Yeah.
No guests needed. Mm-hmm. Although I do have some really good, I have some really great friends in the ethanol industry, and they've been gracious to be my guests. I'm going to call Robert White out. He's, you know, great guy. But so we've got more. We still have more report unpacking to do with Karen. And again, she's the best person to do it with. So, yes, let's get back to that. Hey, Karen, you still there?
I am indeed.
Oh, goody. All right. Well, I think we covered most of corn. We could talk corn forever, but I do also want to get to soybeans and potentially, hopefully, get to wheat as well. But for soybeans, they really left everything unchanged from a domestic standpoint. Really, very little changes on the global standpoint. No changes in South American production as of yet. What are you seeing for soybeans? You know, we talked about corn exports and the pace, and that was great analysis. Have you done the same sort of thing for soybeans?
Yeah, you know, I have. And I think that this one is really important because you're going to hear people say that the soybean export program is pretty good and, you know, our sales pace is good. And overall, that is true. So again, as of November 28th, we have sold 73% of USDA's current full year forecast of 1.825 billion bushels. Yeah. And in the last 3 years, the average pace would be about 68%. So we're ahead of the recent pace. Mm-hmm. Where the problem comes in is China. Uh-oh. China is only 46% of those sales, which outside of the two trade war years, that would be the lowest in 18 years.
Oh my.
So that tells me that China is just a smaller part of our market this year, over the past, you know, I would say at least 1 year, if not more. And that was on a, you know, smaller Brazilian crop last year. And now they've got you know, pretty huge crop, it seems like, you know, in store here. So yeah, it's the Chinese involvement in the U.S. soybean market that could really kind of stall things out. And that's really the fear. But I do think that the prices, you know, if they stay lower or go even lower, like that really could be the one, you know, actually bright spot, you know, if there is one for soybean demand.
Yeah. Yeah. China does like a deal. All politics aside, they, if the price is right, they
very
seem to
true.
Want to buy.
Very
so,
true.
You know, and I mean, look, that's some really interesting data that you just presented. I really appreciate that. What I am wondering, though, is could you look at that a different way? As in, you know, maybe that just means China is going to need to buy more, or are we really running out of the window of opportunity for that before the South American crop comes online, and then that's just going to be lost business?
Yeah, I just don't really see that it's going to be. I don't see that scenario, only because we've not seen the evidence that China's soybean demand is, you know, robust enough to take a potentially 20 million ton increase year on year in the Brazilian crop. I mean, that's very realistic at this point. And, you know, with Chinese demand only increasing, I don't know, maybe a couple percent. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it does not at this time seem like China's going to have to come in later and fill some of these holes. I think Brazil should pretty well cover it. So again, just what's going on in Brazil and kind of this window that we have, you know, right now it's a matter of weeks now before they're going to be able to start harvesting and shipping out their crop down in Brazil.
Yeah, right. And I mean, in the meantime, though, the soybean export sales numbers have been, like you said, I mean, we're ahead of pace to hit the USDA's record. And we keep seeing some big numbers on a weekly basis, although we haven't really seen much in the way of flash sales for the last week. So, you know, how many more weeks do we have before time runs out?
Yeah, it's not clear. I mean, but I do think that it's just that Chinese share that you have to watch, because when you have one customer that is, you know, 50 to 55% of your annual market, I mean, that means everything. You know, everyone else's, you know, purchases are great and they help, but that's a very, very big standout. So that's kind of my fear going forward with soybeans.
Yeah, I hear you. What about the domestic market? You know, crush has been really rather strong. We continue to see monthly records, all-time records.
Right.
Soybean oil has really been a big factor in the crush, or a driving factor for higher crush. Do you think there's more room for the crush to expand? Does soybean oil by itself give us reason to do that? Are soybean oil prices going to, I mean, soybean oil stocks, the USDA made some big changes there. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So, you know, as of, I guess, before yesterday's report, we had sold almost, I don't know, maybe like 100,000 tons above what USDA's export estimate, actually more than that. It was almost like double what, you know, their previous export estimate is what, you know, the sales on the books. So they obviously had to increase the soybean oil export estimate. And now that they've done that, I think it went up about 83%, if I'm not mistaken, from last month's estimate. But now we're sitting here and we actually have at least 90% of that new target already covered. And that's like normally, you know, you'd only see maybe 40%-ish. So that does tell you, you know, hey, that number, we are now sitting at a record low stocks to use in soybean oil. So, in the US. So that's going to be possibly a challenge, going forward with increasing that number.
So if we continue to export soybean oil, are we going to run out of soybean oil?
Is
there such a thing as a negative soybean oil balance sheet?
So this is what I interpret the USDA saying. I think what they're saying is that this kind of support that we've seen in soybean oil and soybean oil demand because of these unusually high palm oil prices, I wonder if USDA is not saying that that's more of a shorter term phenomenon, and that, you know, that spread, which, you know, it's very rare for soybean oil to be cheaper than palm oil, but it is now. And so I think that maybe that is a temporary thing based on what USDA has said about the soybean oil exports. But again, you know, we're only going to be 4% of the total exports this year. It's really Argentina and Brazil. So it's not a big portion in terms of the global balance sheet, but for the US, it is a really big deal. Cause again, record low stocks to use.
Wild. Makes you wonder if the soybean oil prices can add to the crush margin and entice more crushing to happen. But okay, before we run out of time, I do want to get to wheat. That Russian wheat crop is rated very poorly according to them. You know, I, again, as far as you can throw it. But what, 37% good to excellent? And yet we hear conflicting things coming from them and their officials saying, oh, but it's fine. Is that blowing smoke? I mean, I feel like the market, when it hears things like that, that's when we get bullish, because when they say it's fine, we know it's not fine. But what are you seeing over in Russia for the wheat?
Yeah, I think that 37%, I believe that that's the poor category, which is a record, you know, according to the analysts, that were not supposed to tell us that data, apparently. But if you look at the satellite imagery, you see basically red in these winter wheat regions. So the vegetation is struggling. You know, some of the initial estimates that I've heard of the Russian wheat crop for 2025, very similar to the 2024 levels, which according to Russian data is about 20% below its record from 3 years ago. So we're already operating on a much thinner Russian supply than we are used to seeing. So we're kind of already starting here in a little bit of a hole in Russia.
Well, and the wheat chart looks kind of interesting. So that is something to be watched. Karen, thank you so much for your wealth of knowledge. Really fantastic and impressive every time. So thanks again. Have a wonderful day. Everybody else, well, Davis and I will be having a chat here in just a few minutes. So come on back to AgriTalk.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-9047. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-9047. That's 800-575-9047. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on five different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said, GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx user compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Coming soon, it's Holiday Wars.
Honey, do your parents have to stay here?
A family at a breaking point.
That's my food! Ugh.
Battle lines were drawn.
But you love Aunt Marnie.
When suddenly, Prime Video appeared. Enter new holiday hits like Candy Cane Lane on Prime. Movies like Home Alone and Miracle on 34th Street to rent or buy. The chaos silenced.
That was fun. Can your parents leave now?
Come together at the holidays with Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership not required to rent or buy. See Amazon.com/Prime for details.
Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial, is here to talk about how FBN Finance is helping farmers secure personalized loans. Dan, interest rates, they've been volatile for some time now. Share what the current market looks like and how FBN Finance can help farmers with their land financing.
Rates have continued to be somewhat volatile this year. The Federal Reserve has already lowered rates by 0.75%, and they've indicated they're going to continue to lower rates in 2025. But for longer-term products like mortgages, that's really only one factor that goes into their pricing.
Okay, excellent. What is that checklist? What does it look like when someone's deciding which loan term is best for them?
At FBN Finance, we're focused on family farmers, and so we take a unique approach to work with each farmer's operation to see what might be best for them. Our team has more than 15 years of ag finance experience, so they can really understand what your farm needs and what is best in terms of rates, fees, and getting you to the lowest cost loan possible.
Fantastic. FBN Finance offers some great products out there. What else do we need to think about?
Everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. We've provided over $2 billion of financing to almost 3,000 farmers and counting because we make it easy and affordable for farmers to finance their operations with land purchases, refinances, or even improvements. In addition to our real estate offerings, farmers can save even more on chem and animal health products during FBN Cyber Days through December 13th. And right now, farmers can get even more buying power with a 0% interest operating loan on FBN inputs through December 31st. Finally, we're offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off their closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form at fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and just mention AgriTalk.
Excellent, Dan. Thank you so much. That is Dan English, General Manager at FBN Financial.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim. Hey,
Bob. Like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the medium-sized green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Ted Seifert joins. Ted, there's a monumental shift about to take place in our world. The December 2024 corn contract is about to fall off the board. And the AgriTalk Men of Song put together an ode for it last year, featuring a young upstart talent, yay, Cletus Diamond. And I thought I'd just go ahead and roll that, and maybe you and I can talk about the December corn contract and all the fun that it's been for us over the last, what, year and a half? Here's Cletus Diamond.
Stay for just a while. Stay and let me profit from you. It's been so long I hardly knew you. Standing in the bin door. Stay with me a while. I only want to profit from you. We've traveled halfway around the section to combine for ourselves again. December corn. We danced until the rally made a contract high. A farmer weighing strategies from some new options play. December corn. I'm gonna turn a profit someday. December corn. Oh, we danced until the rally made a contract high. A farmer weighing strategies from some new options play. December corn. I'm gonna turn a profit someday. Yes, I'll turn a profit one day.
Cletus Diamond, along with the AgriTalk Men of Song. December corn, we hardly knew thee. Now, by my notes here, the expiration is on.
Bravo,
the
Men of Song.
Oh, aren't they good, the AgriTalk Men of Song? Talented group of lads there. Yeah.
They are exceptional. Davis, yes, very talented. The raspiness in the voice is a little new, but very good. Very good.
You know, he's I think he's somehow related to Neil Diamond. I'm not sure. He carries the same name. Might be. But the fact remains, we're waving goodbye to the December corn contract here. What do we need to be thinking about here?
657 contracts left in open interest.
Okay.
Well, you know, just a little recap on the December contract. You know, I think this is a year where we're all kind of happy to get rid of that December corn contract. At least I am.
Okay, you know. Thank you. I'm glad you said it.
What we didn't have this year, Davis.
Yeah.
What we didn't have this year, Davis, was really any sort of growing season rally, right? You go back to the previous, the December 23 corn, and we had three, albeit short-lived, aggressive rallies to the upside. I mean, they came down just as fast as they went up. But what they were, what they did is they allowed for resting orders to get hit at higher prices, actually much higher prices. If you left them in, you got hit, you got sold at some good levels, you could look back on your marketing and say, hey, you know, that was a good strategy. That worked out. I did pretty okay. This year, it didn't happen. You didn't get that rally. It, from the February low, which was just under 450, you know, the peak was in the middle of May when we got to just under $5. So, I mean, it's that was okay. But then from the middle of May on, we just were straight down. Until we, you know, we rallied a little bit in September based on, you know, dry finish of the growing season, but we did not have our June, July rallies like we normally do. And that left a lot of those orders unfilled. That left a lot of guys less sold into the fall and into harvest than what we had last year. And that perpetuated a lot of the pressure on corn from August all the way into really now and or recently, I should say. And, you know, that has been a limiting factor for any sort of sustained corn rally, even given a 700 million bushel reduction from the ending stocks number that we originally saw from the World Ag Board, USDA, back in February on their outlook. You know, that corn balance sheet's got done nothing but gotten more bullish, stayed the same or gotten bullish on every single report that we've seen for this current crop year. Yet we've really not managed to rally very much. And a lot of that is because there was a whole lot of farmers selling, producer selling that had to happen that wasn't fulfilled during those June, July, the key June, July summer months where we all look for that rally to get priced. And therefore, I say adieu. goodbye, December corn contract. We will not miss you.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, kind of a scenario.
Or roadmap. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, my last thing there is, you know, don't feel bad about, I mean, look, we can all feel bad about marketing plans this year, but we didn't get the opportunities. It's not like you had the opportunities and didn't take them. We didn't get the opportunities that we normally do, which is why a lot of us got stuck holding the bag. You're not the only one. And, you know, hopefully a much better year to come. That's all we can hope for at this point.
Yeah, that's right. And keep our ducks in a row, keep our targets. Do, you know, just, I don't know. You can tell me if this is wrong, but when I don't know what to do, that's when I lean the hardest into the fundamentals of whatever I'm doing. Just get the basics covered. Make sure you've got your foundation covered. And then come what may, you can adjust as necessary. But at least I know where I'm standing right now. And maybe that's the way we need
like
to approach.
Sports, man. I mean, you got to do things mechanically correct.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, absolutely. I'm going to give you a quick last word.
Well.
Quick, let me just hit this rail. Let me just hit this weather forecast because this is the 8 to 14 day outlook valid up until Christmas Day is going to be zoppity. West of the Mississippi, above normal temperatures, much above, in fact, expected near normal through the, I would call it the sort of southeast, and below normal in Florida, below normal precipitation pretty much everywhere else. Ted Seifert, take us out.
Well, I really appreciate Karen coming on the show. I think she had some wonderful insights, so I really appreciate that. Tomorrow we'll be talking to Sherman Newman of Commodity Risk Management. So
talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check the propane tank on your grill first before hosting a tailgate.
Let's fire up.
Here, let me try.
Seriously, you didn't check the propane?
Who else did?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Salt and vinegar.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
From sugar cookie crumbs in the kitchen to pine needles under the tree, count on Steel for Christmas cleanup made easy with the SEA20 battery-powered handheld vacuum. Now just $99.99. Power up the holiday and give a gift from the top of their wish list. Visit your local Steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. Was $159.99 MSRP. Includes battery and charger. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. During an internal town hall, FBI Director Christopher Wray announcing to employees he is resigning